You're a pushy little podcast, ain't you? But I like that. I like that. Hello, welcome to Movie Battle. Each episode, superfans battle it out to decide which movie is best. Here's your host, Kevin Armstrong. What is up, party people? Welcome to Movie Battle. I'm your host, Kevin Armstrong. This is episode 7 from Karate Kid to Survivor, a movie battle event. Very excited about this episode. The Karate Kid is a classic, and we've got two actors from the film. Jeffrey Bryan, who is currently the keyboardist for the band Survivor, who actually performed Moment of Truth, which is the theme of Karate Kid, and Israel Warbe, who plays Freddy in the movie. Both of these guys were, if you remember the beach scene at the beginning before Daniel gets beat up, they were kind of the friends that he went there with. And they're going to be on here after these facts and tidbits, and we have a great conversation, so stick around for that. Karate Kid was directed by John Avildsen, who was most famous for directing Rocky, and produced by Jerry Weintraub, who's just one of the biggest producers ever. It's written by Robert Mark Kamen. Stars Ralph Macchio, Pat Morita, Elizabeth Shue, Billy Zabka, Martin Cove, and Randy Heller. The Karate Kid was released June 22, 1984, had a budget of $8 million, and grossed a box office of $100 million. It has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 88%. Roger Ebert gave it 4 out of 4 stars. Pat Morita was nominated for Best Supporting Actor by both the Golden Globes and the Academy Awards. This movie definitely helped popularize karate in the United States. When Robert Mark Kamen wrote it, this was somewhat semi-autobiographical. When he was 17, he was actually beaten up by a gang of bullies after the World's Fair in New York back in 1964. After this occurred, he began studying martial arts and able to defend himself. He was not happy with his teacher, so he moved on to study under a Japanese teacher who did not speak any English. Jerry Weintraub optioned a news article about a young child of a single mother who had earned a black belt to defend himself against neighborhood bullies. So they combined both of these stories and The Karate Kid was born. DC Comics actually had a character called The Karate Kid, and they were able to get the special permission to use that. When casting the movie, a who's who of young actors were considered for Daniel. Sean Penn, Robert Downey Jr., Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez, Nicolas Cage, Anthony Edwards, Tom Cruise, and Eric Stoltz. Macchio, who was hot off of the Outsiders film where he was Johnny, nailed the audition and was cast. And the character was actually originally named Danny Weber, but once Macchio was cast, they changed the last name to LaRusso. Crispin Glover was considered for the role of Johnny, that was cast, you know, as Zabka, who had no previous training in karate but was a wrestler. The role of Allie, with an I, was cast to Elizabeth Shue, who was popular after a Burger King commercial at the time. Demi Moore was also considered. And for Lucille LaRusso, Valerie Harper was considered for that role. The fight choreographer was Pat E. Johnson, a Tang Soo Do black belt, previously featured in Enter the Dragon, and he had worked with Chuck Norris at several American Tang Soo Do martial arts schools. He plays the referee at the All Valley Karate Championships. So, The Karate Kid has spawned 3 sequels: 1986 Karate Kid Part 2, 89's Karate Kid Part 3, and then the next Karate Kid in 1994 with Hilary Swank. There was a remake in 2010 starring Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith. There's been an animated series on NBC back in the late 80s. And currently, since 2018, there's been two seasons of Cobra Kai, which actually was a YouTube Red series, but has since moved on to Netflix. And season three has been, they've wrapped production, so there will be at least a series three. And I mean, if you're a Karate Kid fan and you have Netflix, you need to watch Cobra Kai, which takes place in present day and has as many of the original characters as possible. Basically, LaRusso is a very successful car dealer. Johnny is down on his luck and then reopens the Cobra Kai dojo, and just, you should watch it and see what happens. I won't spoil it. There is actually even a Broadway musical being adapted. So, Karate Kid, one of my all-time favorite movies. My family moved from New Orleans to Raleigh, North Carolina in June of 1984, and I distinctly remember going to see this movie with my older brother at the Colony Theater in North Raleigh back then. So it's a classic, one of my all-time favorites. We got Jeff and Izzy coming up after this break. Stick around. All right, welcome back to Movie Battle. We have two very special guests tonight on this special tribute episode to The Karate Kid. Jeff Bryan is currently keyboardist for the band Survivor. He was born and raised in Los Angeles. As a teen in the 1980s, he was playing clubs like the Roxy, Whiskey A Go-Go, and everywhere else on the Sunset Strip. Also acted in a couple movies, Hot Moves and, again, The Karate Kid. He's had an enormous career as a composer, singer, keyboard player, guitar player. At the age of 15, he sang live on the Merv Griffin Show. He's formed many pop rock groups, including the Sunlines, opening for the likes of ELO and Great White. Jeff,
well, thank
welcome
you,
to
Kevin.
Movie Battle.
It's nice to be able to hear you and you hear me.
Absolutely, yes. We have, for those that don't know, we had some technical difficulties earlier, but we've persevered and made it through here. Speaking of technical, our second guest is Israel Warby, who has spent 25 years, he told me, as a sound editor, so he knows all about these technical difficulties. Israel was in The Karate Kid. He played Freddy. He's also in Angels in the Outfield, Beverly Hills Cop, and has been on several television shows, including The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Israel is from the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and at 18, he moved to Los Angeles to begin his acting career. Israel,
yes,
to
thank
Battle.
You, Kevin, for having me, and thank you for including me and Jeff. It's really nice to, like, you know, do this together with Jeff, because we haven't seen each other in many, many years. So this is refreshing. This is cool. This is a reunion. So I'm digging it. And and
absolutely,
just to correct you, Kevin, but I wasn't a sound editor. I was a television editor, a video.
Television editor, my mistake. Video.
So I just wanted to clear that up. So this is cool. He called me today and said, hey, man, you want to do this? Or yesterday, and I said, hell yeah, man, let's go. Let's rock, man.
Yeah.
It's amazing how these things can just kind of unfold, and I'm happy to bring you two together. It sounds like y'all haven't missed a beat. Y'all sound like dear old friends, and I look forward to hearing some tales from the set and just your careers
Right on.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
Where do you want to start?
So Jeff, go ahead. Yeah, whoever wants to start.
Well, where do you want to start, Kevin? Jeff? From like the from the beginning of Karate Kid, or from somewhere else beyond that?
Yeah, we can start from the Karate Kid. Since that's
The Karate Kid was here. Well, for me, it was my second film that I had been involved with. And it was a very different experience than the first one. They were both feature films, but Karate Kid, and I think, Israel, you'll probably agree with this, there was a sort of a kind of atmosphere that John Avildsen had on the set that was a sort of atmosphere of fear, you know? He wanted to keep all the people, all the actors that were, not exactly friends off on screen, off screen. So there was always this little bit of I felt a little bit of tension on the set, you know, with Kreese and a couple of the guys from Cobra Kai. I was never sure if I should be talking to those guys. You know what I mean?
And not me, man. That never held me back, man. I'm just a talker, and I'm like, yo, this is the movies, you know. This is Cobra Kai, guys. Come on, give me a break. I'm from the hood.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm just kidding, man. I mean, I got along with everybody. It was a great set from what I remember. For me, you know, like, you know, everybody has a lot of memories on being on the set, but my most traumatic memory was that I was 6 hours late on the set.
You were?
For the Karate Kid fight scene at the end, the tournament.
Oh,
scene.
The tournament. I think I remember that.
You remember that, man? I
remember they were all, where the hell's Freddy?
Yo, dude, check this out. So I was like, we were off on hold for like 2 weeks straight, right?
It was horrible.
And so like at that time, there were no cell phones, man. You know, you got a call, your answering machine picked it up and it left you a message and blah, blah, blah. And what happened was that I had gone somewhere with my girlfriend at the time. We had like gone on a trip. And when I came back, my roommates told me, hey, man, you got a message on the machine. And I listened to it. It's like, Israel, where are you? You're supposed to be on the set. And I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So I got on my motorcycle, dude, and I remember it was raining, and I went from Pasadena on the motorcycle all the way to the damn, you know, Northridge, you know,
North
college.
State, yeah, it was Northridge, yeah.
And it was so far, man, and it was like raining. I was soaked, and I was already late. So when I got there, the producer, dude, what was his name? Not Jerry Weintraub, the other guy, the big producer guy.
I see his face. I can't remember his name.
He's a slick guy, big producer.
Yeah.
He does his thing with a little finger and says, come here, man. I'm like, oh, shit. And they already had shot some scenes without me. So, like, if you look at the movie, you see that I'm next to my friend Frank Avalon and a couple of the guys, right? Jeff, I don't know if you were in that scene. I think you were featured, like, in the stands there. But you don't see Freddie. And then the next cut, you see me there, right? So, like, they shot without me. And anyway, so the producer calls me over, man, and he goes, dude, if you ever want to work with me again, never be late. This is a big production. You know, we were looking for you. We're going to give you, like, close-ups and everything. And I was like, dude,
wow.
I was white.
I didn't know it was that bad, man.
It was bad, man. And he liked me, man, but he gave me, like, the rundown. Like, you don't do that. And that was a complete innocent mistake, man. You know, like, I don't think we even had beepers at the time. I don't know. It was just
Bud
like
Smith. I think it was Bud Smith.
Bud Smith? No, I think R.J. Lewis. I think that was
okay. He wasn't. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember him now.
Yeah, R.J. Lewis, slick guy, big.
He was R.J. Lewis,
producer. Yeah, R.J. Lewis.
Yeah, right. He was executive producer. That's what threw me.
Yeah.
He wasn't. He wasn't even involved in like the day to day, but he apparently was there.
Well, you know, if he's executive, that's the money guy. So,
yeah,
but
that's
you
how
know.
Bad it was. It got all the way up to the money guy.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
That's like, never a good thing.
And the guy liked the money, me. Yeah. They liked my character and they liked what I was doing and everything. But that was like my traumatic moment. So that moment I remember clearly, you know what I'm saying? Think about it, guys. It's been 35 years, 35 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you still
yeah, hell yeah.
You know, yeah. Every second.
That was the longest walk up to any producer in my life.
I can imagine, man. I didn't have any traumatic problems on the set. I was just like that. Wow. In fact, I remember that particular time when we were filming that there was something holding up production. I don't think we all knew what it was.
Oh my God. When you say it like that, I shiver, man.
I just remember we were all sitting around going, what the hell are we doing? You know? Now I know, 30 years later.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but I survived.
It was Israel.
I survived.
Anyway.
Yeah, you know, my high school football coach was not big on people being tardy either, so We ran out to practice many times for somebody.
No, but you know what? I learned something, man. Very valuable, man. I mean, ever since then, I was always on time. I was there before. I had my lines memorized from like the television series I did, Foley Square. After that, I was always on time, man. I was always dependable. Yeah. And, you know, learn, man.
It's funny, too, because it was the last scene. Yeah. I mean, it was literally near the last few days of shooting.
Right.
So you made it all the way through without a hiccup until then.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Did you ever go up to Frank's house with me and William to jam?
No.
I didn't think so. I don't in my memories, I don't recall you there.
No.
A bunch of us would go up to we did it a couple times. We went up to Frankie Avalon's house coming home from Leo Carrillo Beach, where we were filming some of the fight scenes.
Right.
And we would go up to his house, and of course Frankie was on drums, and they had a keyboard there, and William played guitar, and we basically just just got stoned and tried to play something. It was funny.
That's awesome.
It was just a crazy, crazy thing. I mean, like I was saying earlier, there was a lot of, I'm not saying that I was fearful or I didn't talk to people. I was just saying that the atmosphere on the set is that, I mean, we didn't see Ralph much. And the reason for that was because they wanted to keep sort of the guys separated. At least that was my impression of it. And, you know, so, I mean, I didn't see Ralph pretty much at all, except for maybe one or two times he came out and I happened to be in the vicinity. I didn't have any direct scenes with him. You did. So you probably spoke to him more than I did. But I just remember, there was like a tension, you know, they didn't sit with us at lunch, you know, eating at break or anything like that. But after, as soon as it was wrapped, we all just kind of, let's all head up to Frankie's house and jam. We did that a bunch of times.
Yeah, man. Well, you know what? Actually, Billy, I don't know if you went, Jeff. I mean, I'm not sure, but Billy, Rob Garrison, God bless his soul. Rob Garrison, the Cobra Kai who just recently passed. That's who I'm referring to.
Yeah.
Rob and I hung out after Karate Kid for years. You know? Yeah. We'd go clubbing and hanging out and partying. And
I didn't realize you guys were that close.
Yeah. And Billy, I invited Billy and Ron and Rob. They went to I threw like this amazing Halloween party in this old house. I lived in this old Victorian house.
In LA?
And me and my roommates threw this Halloween party that was like the shit, man. Excuse my language, but it was the bomb.
Was it in LA or back?
Yeah, no, Pasadena, where I lived.
Oh, shit.
And it had we had this attic that was just, we dressed it up, man. It looked like a haunted house. We had people in costumes in the stair in the corner in the dark, man. Scare people.
I would like to see pictures of that. It's too bad there was no cell phones, man. I would have loved to see.
Yeah, no pictures, man. But dude, we partied till like 5 a.m, man. Yeah. And so I did hang out with Billy and them afterwards. And not too long ago, I did a signing with them, with Ralph and Billy. We did a signing in New Jersey. And that's something that I'm going to start to do, is signing. You know, I went to the signing and it's a good little career, little sidekick money. You know, I take my pictures and God, Ralph brought in, he was with C. Thomas Howell and they brought in like thousands of people there, man. So I made good money that day, you know? So that was a cool experience that I got together with Marty and Billy and all these cats, you know? So I don't remember that too much about the distancing. I don't remember that too much, but
that was my impression of it. You know, I mean, you had like obviously Tom Fridley?
Yeah, yes.
Do you ever talk to him? Because I know he's still here in LA.
No, I think
I've seen him on Facebook.
I think he's on Facebook, but I haven't gotten in touch with him. The only one, I mean, me and Frankie were partners in business.
Yeah, Kevin, I know.
Just to let you know. We own the Strategy thing together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, Kevin, I just got to, what we're talking about right now is Freddy's Gang. See, there was the Cobra Kai, and they thought they were badass. But then there was me, Israel, Freddy, Tom Fridley, a guy named Ken Daly. I have no idea what happened to him. And of course, Frankie Avalon Jr. And we were Freddy's Gang. I don't know if Freddie had his own group of friends that were not karate guys, oddly enough.
We were the punks in the movie. We left them hanging at the beach.
we were great friends, right?
Yeah.
We were real good influences on the poor kid.
Nice. Yep.
In fact, I think Freddie's character was a catalyst for him getting his ass kicked. You were like, you should go talk to her, man. That was
I introduced them. That's right, man. Hey, you know us Puerto Ricans, we always start
trouble.
Look,
man, you helped him. You know, you helped him move in, and you invited him to this great party, and you encouraged him.
When he said he knew how to, you know, do karate, we were like, okay, show us some moves.
Yeah.
Then he got his ass.
Oh my god!
Like, we don't know him.
I don't know that dude. You know, I got to keep a reputation. I got to keep my reputation, bro.
Exactly. We were cold.
Then we were cheering for him at the end. You know, I had a scene that unfortunately they cut out, and I was so bummed.
Which one?
We had a scene that we shot when he came out from being hurt. This is one that landed in the editing floor, and I was so bummed. I never, you know, asked John why they cut that out or.
But be specific. Which part during the?
When he got hurt, and he went into the dress and into the
his leg.
Yeah, to fix his leg. When Miyagi fixes his leg, you know, gives him the heat rub and all that.
He got hurt a lot in that show.
Right, so right. Verify. But when he comes out through the aisle there, right next to me, we shot a scene. We shot a whole scene where I'm on the banister and I'm telling him. Hey, man, I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for what I did, but you go get him. Get him, man. Kick his ass or something. I forgot. And they cut that scene out, and I was like, damn. But when I reflect on it now, and when I watch the ending of the movie, it was better to cut out that whole thing because it just got in the way. It was another, you know, like the momentum was building, the music. He comes back.
You missed your Oscar nomination right there.
Yeah, man. But you know what? It's like, it's okay because, like, I think it was so much better than to cut out. You know, there was so much tension, right? He fixes him up. He's coming back out. And he's going to, like, you know, because as soon as he came out, he did the crane and that's it. And you don't want to put Freddie in the middle of all of that. Say, hey, kick his ass, man. Kick his ass. You know, it's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess in the end it worked out.
Yeah, but, absolutely. But,
we all wanted more screen time. Let's be honest.
Sure.
I mean, remember?
They cut out some scenes, Jeff. Remember? We were in the school.
We were in the school.
He comes up to us and we kind of ignore him. They cut that out.
They
cut out our smoking weed in the beach scene.
That's right.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, they cut that. And I think that was a good idea, too, only because, like, the movie.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, well, you know, we had, like, these fake joints, Kevin, right? We were passing around.
I'm just sitting here thinking of myself. I'm 6 years old when this movie came out, so this has been, like, my movie since I was a kid, and I'm trying to imagine it with all these scenes and these, you know, this other whole element and angle. I'm like, oh, which I might appreciate more now, but I can just imagine growing up with that.
If
they were doing
I think you agree with me, Israel, that there was a lot of time on the set when we were there because, you know, there was probably more days than they had for us to be there, you know.
Thank God.
No,
we
made
a shitload of money.
I mean, I'm happy that I was there for the whole, but I was also a little upset as being that age at that time, being young, that, you know, I was hoping to get more screen time, get a little footage out of this movie. And it was a little difficult to, accept the fact that, you know, hey, I'm working on a major Columbia Pictures movie and I'm not in it.
Well, you know what, man? I just say just be blessed that you were, because it's like,
yeah, totally, dude.
It was such a classic cult movie. It never dies for generations and generations.
If there was ever a movie not to be in, this was the one.
Yes, absolutely.
Ever a movie not to be seen in, you know, if this was the one.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, my friend is, remember Randy Sabasawa, John Evans' assistant?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I hang out with Randy all the time, every time I go to L.A. We've been hanging out for years, right? Uh-huh. So, Randy, you know, told me the reasons why they cut out the pot scene. And this is the reason why. If you remember, Johnny is rolling up a joint during a Halloween thing, right? The Halloween.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
in the toilet stall.
Right.
And he's rolling up a joint.
With the skeleton
and that kind of fit perfect, because we were like the goody two-shoe kids, right? But he had like the skeleton outfit, you know, and he's rolling up a joint. And that kind of puts a little stain on like his character. He's like the evil character. He's the antagonist, right? So that made sense. So cutting out our smoking weed party, you know, at the beach before he meets the girl. You know, forgot her name. Allie, right, Allie. Excuse me.
With an I.
Right, with an I, exactly. I thought that was clever. Because
you're not smoking anything now, are you? Just curious.
No, hell no. But I'm going to have some Red Label after this. So, I mean, that makes sense, right? You know, you save that scene where he's rolling up a joint and he gets water poured on him, and it's effective. If you had weed throughout the whole movie, visually, you're ready, you know, it's stained. It's a little stained. It's like, every movie had weed in this and pot and all that.
It was the 80s, though, so there was a lot.
Yeah, it was.
You know.
Yeah.
Wasn't so PC like it is now.
Right. So, anyway,
What else can we say about Karate Kid? What else would you?
I mean, that's amazing. I've never heard any of that. That's just a whole complete. Like I said, that would be a whole different aspect of the movie. That I mean, you could easily throw that in there, and it would fit. But it's probably best that it wasn't, just because. Like I said, I was six, and that movie has just aged so well over the years. It's timeless. Like, I've shown it to my 4-year-old and 6-year-old, and now with you know, Cobra Kai and everything out, and it's been out, but now that it's on Netflix and it's just blowing
and,
up.
And weeks, just for your listeners, that Robert Kamen is writing a musical on Broadway. Yes,
I saw that,
and it just keeps going on, man. It never ends. It's like
Karate Kid the musical.
Unbelievable, man. It's like it keeps because I retired. The last show I did was Pensacola Wings of Gold with James Brolin. I did that for a year. And that was the last thing that I filmed in 1999. It's been, you know, 20 years or over 20 years that I haven't done a film. Karate Kid kind of died a little bit, but it was still showing on TV. And now 2020, man,
I know,
it keeps going. It's just mind boggling, man. It's a blessing. It's a beautiful thing, man.
I mean, you know, Billy and Ralph must be just so happy. Yeah.
Hey, check this out, Jeff. I don't know if you remember, but when we went to the screening of The Karate Kid in the Village in Westwood, right? In Westwood Village. Do you remember? We went right there, and then Marilyn Monroe, we went to visit Marilyn Monroe.
I remember it being at the Directors Guild on Sunset. I don't remember the Westwood.
Oh, no. We did a screening, the first one, in Westwood Theater. And the thing was, is that when I read this script, I was like, what? The Karate Kid? You know what? It's kind of a little dorky. I grew up watching karate movies and Bruce Lee my whole life. So I love the whole thing of being in a karate movie. But we thought it was a little cheesy.
Everyone thought it was an after-school special.
Yeah. And, dude, but let me tell you, when we finished watching it,
yeah, it was totally different.
Everybody cheered, man. Yeah. We flipped out. It was like, yo, this is going to be awesome. we thought it, we didn't think it was going to be that great. But when you put a great producer like Jerry Weintraub, and you put John Avildsen, who directed Rocky, and you know, he directed Rocky One, man.
Right. Well, the whole Rocky, that whole Rocky situation was not an accident. I mean, you know, Jerry Weintraub's whole point was to try to use the same formula that was so successful with Rocky on this Karate Kid movie. And that's exactly why, you know, they use some of the same musicians. I mean, some of the songs.
Yes, Bill Conti, man.
Bill Conti was the same guy that wrote all of the score for Rocky. He was the same guy that did the background music for Karate Kid. Yes. He also wrote Moment of Truth. A lot of people don't know that. He wrote the song Moment of Truth that Survivor made a hit for Karate Kid.
Wow.
So, I mean, and of course, you know, Survivor is known for Rocky III. So it's not an accident that that stuff was happening.
And that the guy that was in charge of the music supervisor was the guy with the beard. What was his name?
His name was Brooks Arthur.
Brooks Arthur. Exactly. He was cool, man.
Yeah. The music guys I know.
Yes. Yes. I'm sure.
So, Jeff, speaking of the music, I've read and heard that You're the Best was actually supposed to be in Rocky III.
That's true.
But Stallone rejected it in favor of, obviously, Eye of the Tiger, Survivor.
Not exactly. See, what I know about please. That, I can speak to the Eye of the Tiger for sure. He originally wanted, Sylvester Stallone wanted the Queen tune, Another One Bites the Dust for Rocky III. And that was apparently on the temp track. That was the track that they're editing to when Jim Peterik and Frankie Sullivan of Survivor got it. And they were like, well, what do you need us for? You got Queen. And I said, well, they won't release the rights to it, so write me something. And so I don't think they ever had any intention of using the song that you just mentioned as that song. But it was supposed to be used in one of the Rocky movies. And I'm not sure if it was Rocky III or Rocky IV. And they kind of pooled a lot of the talent in terms of they would pull things. You know, Jerry Weintraub was involved in all this. So he was pulling people from different, different productions. And, it's funny, too, because, you know, when I started playing for Survivor, I did some research. I went back and I looked at the Moment of Truth, and I'm in the music video. So are you, Israel, which is crazy.
Really?
Yeah, we're in the music video for the song because they were using parts of the movie to, you know, obviously sell the song and sell the movie. And so by virtue of us being in the scenes, we're in their music video. Just pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got to see that, man. Now I got to see. I got to look it up, man. I didn't know I was in the video.
Yeah.
Where's my money?
I think you made that on the Karate Kid. I think that's all Karate Kid there. But it was an average. See, what a lot of people don't know is, and I don't know how many of your listeners are going to be Survivor fans, but Survivor won't play that song live when we go out. We don't play it. They won't play it because it's not a song they wrote. They were sort of kind of obligated, if you will, to record it. And so it doesn't show up on any of their albums. It's on a compilation album from from 2000 or something, but it was never on an original album of theirs. It was only used to promote the movie. And it's funny because it was a minor hit song. And the Jimmy Jameson, who sadly died a few years ago, was their second lead singer, and it was his first time that he recorded anything with Survivor was that song. And it's not even a song they put on an album.
Wow. That's good trivia stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a movie battle.
Dude, I got to hear you sing on the Merv Griffin show. You got to find me that tape, bro.
Damn, I have it somewhere. I got to find it, too, because it's been a long time. I sang the song. They wouldn't let me sing my own material, which really pissed me off. I had to sing something from one of their... Anyway, the point is I sang a Styx song, The Best of Times. Remember that song?
Wait, that's so incredible.
Come on, come on, go ahead, Jeff, do it, bro.
No, I was just reminding you because no one like remembered the song "Best of Times," but it was a big hit. But they made me sing a song that I had to pick from a list. It was kind of weird, but
no, but that's cool, man. I used to watch that with my mom, dude. The Merv Griffin Show, dude. Yeah. That guy's a genius. He owned everything from Jeopardy to.
I know he was like a TV mogul,
and he owned hotels. Man, the guy was awesome.
Yeah, he was crazy. Kevin probably doesn't know who he is, right? Do you know Merv Griffin?
I know Merv Griffin. It's before my time. I know it more because there was a whole Seinfeld episode where the set of the Merv Griffin Show in his
apartment. Shit, now I feel freaking old.
No, dude, I feel old all the time, man. The other day, man, I was talking about Jerry Lewis, and they were like, "Who's Jerry Lewis?" And I go, "Jerry Lewis, you don't know Jerry Lewis."
Oh, yeah, I was on with Jerry Lewis.
Get out.
That's who I was on with. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, that's awesome.
That is incredible. I know Jerry Lewis.
Well, yeah, he's, a legend. But it was crazy. I met him in the green room, and there were like a couple. The way that happened was I was in a show called Too Short for Primetime Players. And it was a variety show at the Roxy on Sunset Boulevard on Sundays, like a matinee. And we were all kids. I was probably 15 or 16 when I started with them. And I was one of the older ones. And they had this like variety show that they put on for children's birthday parties. So parents would come in and they would, pay their money and have the birthday party there and have a live show on Sunset. And, it got popular, and it got some news crews down there, and eventually somebody from the Merv Griffin Show said we should do a segment on this, and they brought like me and a couple other the kids in the show to do a song from the show.
Nice.
And that's how my career in acting got started, because I had no interest in acting. It was not something I even thought about. It wasn't even something I was fantasizing. It was nothing. I was like, well, I'm not an actor. Give me a guitar, put a keyboard in my hand. I don't know what I'm doing.
Nice.
But So, I looked young for my age. I mean, you probably remember me
little howdy doody, man. Like Richie Cunningham,
I didn't have red hair.
Opie, man. Yeah.
Or freckles.
No, that's right. But I mean, I remember you, man. I remember you.
Yeah. Oh, well, man. I'd like the hair again. That would be nice. But I looked so young. That was what was attractive to a lot of the agencies, because they were like, if you can work, if you can be 18 and play 14, that's gold for people.
Yeah.
Saves them a lot of money.
I played 18 until I was like 35, and then something happened. I don't know what happened.
Something happened.
I was doing high school and I was like, yo, don't you know I'm like 28?
The last three wives, that's what happened.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is cool, man. I'm having a really good time, man. Thank you for inviting
us. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, we haven't let you speak at all.
Hey, that's one of my greatest skills is knowing when to just shut up.
Welcome to the Jeff and Israel Show.
Hey, I have another Karate Kid story, and I told this another podcast, and this is pretty cool because I just want to throw a shout out to my, my partner in business, Frankie Avalon Jr. How we met, this is really cool. How we met was Frankie has a tendency to be late to things, to functions, to events. My wedding, he got there. He was part of my wedding. He got there 5 minutes before, and we were freaking out, okay? But so the way I met him is, remember we had that rehearsal, that reading at Jerry Weintraub's house?
Jeff? Oh, I will never forget that.
Dude, we went into
the house was insane.
His guest house. No, the guest house was a mansion.
The guest house was a mansion. That's right.
Yeah, Jerry Weintraub amazing. Just passed away. God rest
yeah,
his soul.
Yeah, that
God,
made me
he
sad.
Just passed away last year. Yeah, that's sad. He was a really cool
dude. But, I don't mean to interrupt you. Israel, because
you should keep going.
I just want, but he's got to understand because he's probably a little younger than us. Jerry Weintraub was not just some guy. I mean, Jerry Weintraub was one of the biggest names in Hollywood at that time. I mean, he was producing some of the biggest.
Absolutely.
He represented David Bowie and Barbara Streisand, and he was just a mogul among moguls. Yeah.
Frank Sinatra.
Exactly. So anyway, go ahead. He's just not somebody you brush over. I mean, this guy was the industry.
No, no, right, yeah, totally. Right. You got to throw out his name, man. He was probably responsible with John Avildsen as along with John Avildsen to make this thing a great piece, you know, great movie, great experience. But when we were sitting down to read, we had a reading and everybody was there but Frankie's character. And Frankie comes in late. We already passed his scene, right? Yeah. He comes in walking and stuff. And like, I told him, hey, come here, share my seat. He didn't even have a script. So I said, yeah, this is where we're at, you know? And so anyway, like his scene was like his three lines or four lines or whatever was just gone. So anyway, me and him hung out because I shared, you know, my script with him and we hung out that night. Right. So I heard rumors after we read, remember that he had that marble pool table and we kind of went there and we hung out around the pool table and all that stuff. So Frank, you know, I said, hey, man, he said, let's hang out, man. I said, OK. So I heard rumors he was Frankie Avalon's son. And the whole thing was that growing up, my sister's 68, so she's 11 years older than me. I grew up watching all those damn Beach Blanket bingo movies, right? So I was aware of Frankie Avalon and Ed Funicello. So I was kind of excited, man. And he goes, no, let's hang out. Let's go to my house, man. Let's go to my neighborhood. And that's Calabasas, right? And this is a kid. I'm from like the Lower East Side. You know, I grew up in the hood and all that. And I come out to L.A. And Frankie says, hey, man, let's go to my house, man. Because we partied, man. We were so high and drunk. It was like, I don't know, 2, 3 in the morning. He goes, stay over at my house. You know, so I wouldn't drive. And so I go, I asked him, I said, yo, you're Frankie Avalon's son, right? He goes, yeah, that's my dad. And I go, what do you live? Yeah, man. We're going to my house, man. But be cool. My dad is cool. Don't worry about it. So, dude, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm thinking we're going to get like, you know, we're going to go to his room or crash out on the floor, whatever, right? Dude, his dad is making pasta and shit at 3 o'clock in the morning, man. We're ready to go up the room, like sneak, and this we're in this mansion, the spiral staircase and all that shit. And in the corner of my eye, I see Frankie Avalon, bro, stirring some sauce. He's making his lobster sauce. And I'm like, oh shit, man. I don't want to meet Frankie Avalon like this. So anyway, he goes, oh, don't worry. My dad is cool. My dad is cool. So we go to the kitchen. Hey, Frank, how you doing? You know, he's got that. I'm like, this Frankie Avalon, bro. Fucking sharp. 3 o'clock in the morning, guys. Like, shirt is all pressed. And he had, like, the sweater over his collar and everything. And I'm like, oh, man. He goes, hey, what you guys do? Hey, this is Israel. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Avalon? Great to meet you. And he goes, you guys been drinking? I was like, I was stunned. I said right away, yes, yes, yes. I didn't want to lie and shit, you know? My first meeting.
When we would go up to his house, we did this a bunch of times after Leo Carrillo Beach, those scenes. We'd go up there. I told you earlier, we would go up there and play music. And I, you know, his dad would show up. He would come in with, you know, his golf clubs and the whole nine yards and everything. And he would just get into some kind of yelling match with Frank because, I don't know, some shit was by the door that shouldn't be or whatever. It was just so interesting to see Frankie Avalon yelling at Frank, you know, for some mundane thing. But he was so cool. But he was just like that.
That's not
the
only time.
Just a regular guy, you know. It was.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Frankie Avalon is the best. I've known him now for 35 years. He was the first one to give us some money for our company. So, you know, God bless him. I love the dude.
Frank still plays drums.
They become
with him,
really close. And
I mean,
yeah,
not now.
They all over the world. So I see them all the time because they play out here in Connecticut, you know, at the Mohegan. They play in Atlantic City and I go over there. You know, so we're always hanging
out. That's
great. You know,
now Israel, you were telling me earlier about your business ventures. Do you want to tell people about the your Etsy shop, the Strawgy?
Yes, right now I have an Etsy shop all set up, and it's if people use the search bar at Etsy, and it's called my product is called Strawgy. And it's Strawji, like emoji, but Strawji. And it's a little novelty thing for straws. And they're reusable straws with a reusable clip. And the clip, any straw can fit onto this clip. And the clip has a little frame where you can put pictures of your family, whoever's birthday it is. You can put wedding pictures, anything you want on there. It's a little novelty thing that I invented. I got patented.
Wow.
And Frankie Jr. is my partner. So if they want to go on there, they can check it out. They're really cool. I have 5-packs, 10-packs, you know, 50-packs, $75 packs, all the way to 100 clips. You could order a million if you like.
That's incredible. You know,
incredible. And then I also have my Freddy's Making Bacon t-shirt there. So I have 4 listings, and one of them is the Freddy's Making Bacon t-shirt on there. You know, that you could have signed or not.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to know what the Making Bacon t-shirt is, an image of 2 pigs doing it.
Yeah, but you got to tell people that's the shirt you wore in the movie.
And that's, you know, that's the shirt I wore
that's
in
the whole
front.
Point.
Yeah, thanks, absolutely.
The thing is that when we were ready to shoot the scene, you know, I asked, you know, John, the costume person said, you know, she was hesitant. I said, but this is a cool shirt, because at that time they had those stickers, the Ride On poster, the Keep On Trucking, you know, image. And they had the Making Bacon was one of the famous logos at that time in the 70s and 80s. So I said, you know, can I wear this shirt? And John Everson was so busy setting up shot that he said, yeah, go ahead, wear it. He didn't realize there were 2 pigs doing it on the t-shirt. So like recently, like 3 years ago, I found out that this t-shirt is one of the top 20 t-shirts of all time. Movie time. Check it. It's in Germany. They have a thing, and they put the top 20 in the United States, top 20 t-shirts of all time. And Freddy's Making Bacon t-shirt is there. And all these other companies were selling it. And I said, hey, man, I got to sell it. So I called up the guy whose grandfather created the characters, and they gave me the rights to it, and I'm selling it, man. Check it out. Nice. Signed or unsigned.
Incredible. That's very nice.
Yeah. And so the Karate Kid keeps paying, man.
Yeah, it keeps gift paying. It keeps on giving.
Absolutely.
You know? So, that's right.
Yes.
So, Jeff, Survivor, I mean, with, you know, COVID and everything, how is, you know, I imagine, you know, touring has, is it, are y'all playing any shows now?
No, that's why I'm doing this.
Upcoming? Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I didn't know if, I meant like, are y'all doing
no, unfortunately,
online?
No. I mean, we have plans to go back. So does the rest of the world.
Absolutely.
So we'll see how that goes. This was going to be a big, big year too. Cause in, when we got the call, when I got the call, that, you know, they're going to cancel the show, in March, you know, I was out the door. I had my bags packed. I thought, you know, I was about to get on a plane for the rest of the year. And it was weird. It's like dominoes. I figured, okay, the first couple shows will get canceled, then we'll get over the first couple weeks. And then boom, 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 boom. They just kept, even not just Survivor, but Journey and REO Speedwagon and Loverboy, all the bands that we tour with, they just stopped playing too. And it was like, oh my God. This is going to be a tough year. So unfortunately, I don't have, you know, not much is we're kind of in stasis at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I mean, obviously fans like us, you know, we don't get to go to concerts, but like that's your life. That's your, I mean, it's your livelihood, but it's what you, that's what you're about. It's what you do.
Well, you know, I'm in other bands too, and they're all affected.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm in another band called the KTEL All-Stars. You should check, have people check that out. It's the KTEL, like KTEL, the records, KTEL, allstars.com. Okay. That band, is an awesome band. It's sort of a labor of love, a lot of fun, but they almost tour as much as Survivor. We go all over the country. And so, you know, between that and Survivor not playing, you know, it ends up being a lot of time on your hands, you know? Not that I had ever anticipated that ever to happen. None of us have, but I think it's extra hard for us musicians, you know, because this is what we do. We're around people. We go out. We perform, and actors too. But I think even more so for musicians that are touring, because everybody's just, there's nothing happening. Nobody's talking.
Yeah, Frankie shut down, man, really too, man. It's my company. It's like, who wants to buy straws when there's no party? And, you know, not to get political or anything, but please wear your mask, people. Let's cut this out. Let's get back to work. Let's just stop for this, sure, man.
Yeah.
Get back to work.
Yeah, so the last show I did with Survivor was when we went on break back in November. So it's going to be well over a year since I'll be, you know, back on the road with them. So I don't know. It would have been nice to work on some new material. We've talked about possibly writing some new material. There was talk about a new album. But I think, you know, obviously I'm in Los Angeles. Most of them are in scattered. They're in Chicago or Nashville. So we're not like next door to each other. So it's kind of a production to get together. So I assume
zoom in.
Yeah.
Well, it's a band with a 40-year legacy. I mean, I'm not the one calling the shots on that one, you know. But gotcha. Let's hope it changes, man.
Absolutely, we're looking forward to y'all getting back out there, and y'all next time y'all do an East Coast leg of your tour.
Where are you?
I'll find y'all, and I'm in Raleigh,
okay,
North Carolina.
Yeah, I haven't gone that far south with them, but we're always on the East Coast, mostly East Coast and Midwest.
Oh yeah, so I'm going to see you soon, Jeff. In New York. Once this COVID stuff is over, man, I'm there.
Sounds good. Well, Jeff, Israel, I can't thank y'all enough. This has been amazing. Just listening to you two reminisce and catch up and tell these great stories from the Karate Kid and just your careers in general. This has been amazing. This has just been a historic movie battle episode. And just once again, I truly appreciate y'all being on here and taking the time.
Thank you for having
to talk to me.
Hey, Jeff, thank you for asking me to get on with Kevin, man. This has been a blessing, and it's been awesome. And, you know, Jeff, I'm going to be calling you.
Yeah, you know, we would have done this anyway.
Thank you.
You know,
right?
Might
yes.
as well record it, right?
There you go. All right, guys. Well, take care, and we'll get all this right. out to
Thanks.
You soon, all right?
Thanks, Kevin.
Yes, thank you right. so much, thank Kevin. You. Have a good
all
night.
Nice. All right, you too.
Thank you for listening to Movie Battle. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe and review. If you would like to support or leave a voice message, please go to our homepage. You can follow Movie Battle on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you for coming correct.